Before I begin, I'd ask you to please hold dear in your prayers and intercessions this week all those people who are being tragically affected by the war in the Ukraine. My working title this morning is going to be Relationships and Rules. Over and over in Scripture we hear that God wants a relationship with us. And even though we might not think so, He really doesn't want to start out with just a bunch of rules, the do's and the don'ts of what He wants for us. The Jewish scripture scholar Brad Scott puts it this way: God doesn't desire to govern the world by justice and fairness. He desires to govern the world by His wisdom. We can hear this most clearly in Genesis. His wisdom sustained the original relationship before the fall, where Adam could walk in the cool of the afternoon in casual conversation with God. There was no need yet for a lot of rules. So our reading from Sirach is part of the Old Testament wisdom literature. Its bottom line, true nature, true character, eventually becomes visible for all to see. Now, we often hear in Scripture that both God the Father and God the Son desire for us to have joy, and that that joy might be complete. If we look at the Hebrew faith tradition, there are a number of words that they use for this joy. And the one that they use most often is Shimha. Shimha. But we often hear it translated into English as to shout, to be excited, to rejoice, or to demonstrate. However, again, in the Hebrew faith tradition, it means to express on the outside what is taking place inside. It's a combination of the words shem, source of, and het, outside. It therefore goes directly to the many examples we hear in Scripture about the description of a branch or growing from or being a part of. The branch of a tree does reveal what the tree is. It shows off all its leaves, its flowers, and its fruit, both good or bad. And we've heard provocative examples in the readings so far this year about great yields. Good trees, good fruit. Bad tree, bad fruit. And we started the month of February in Luke's chapter 6 with what's called Jesus' Sermon on the Plain. And just prior to the sermon, He has chosen from all of His disciples the 12 disciples that become the apostles. On theological terms, you've probably heard me refer to this as these are the guys who knew the guy. And these are the guys who brought what they knew about Him to us through their writings and through founding all those various early churches as they spread the Christian faith. Now, whether it's the books of Moses in the Old Testament or any one of the Gospels, including Luke in the New Testament, the story always starts with God building a relationship, calling people into community, and then establishing rules to ensure success. And that's what we've heard from Luke over the last few weeks, isn't it? He started with the Beatitudes. He's going beyond God's Ten Commandments from the Old Testament, which were about relating to God, relating to family, relating to each other in a good way. Now the Beatitudes are going to focus on desired behaviors for us, virtues that we can practice that will lead us back into God's presence, and once there, through God, to receive a rich blessing. Next came His admonitions about how to deal with others, a golden rule, but it was expanded. We have to love everybody, including our enemies. It was a call to be proactive in the world, not just reactive. And then his admonition, do not judge, for how you measure others will be how you are measured. So today Jesus is diving even further into the details of putting it all into practice. Now, he's using a preaching tradition that's composed of a series of small teachings from Scripture that are tied together. And in the Hebrew tradition, again, it has a word, hadas. This process of hadas is used to describe the putting together of these various related pieces of Scripture to teach a valuable lesson. In the Hebrew, it's usually referred to as stringing pearls. Now maybe you have a string of pearls or have given them as a gift, and if you've ever had a chance to watch them make a string of pearls, they have all these pearls laid out on a table, and they start to take a pearl and they string it, and the next one, the next one. And they try and get a particular look, a uniformity, a size, a color. And then many times, depending upon the quality, each pearl by itself is a wonder to behold. But when you see it as a string, sometimes the beauty of each pearl gets lost in the bigger picture. Now, Haraz preacher will move quickly from one topic to the next, both to avoid losing interest of the listener, but also in this rapid-fire style, it has those advantages of covering a lot of ground in a hurry. But it also has drawbacks. One of the downsides is that it's easy to fail to notice this beauty of a single pearl, that individuality of that beauty. And so, whenever we encounter this style in Scripture, like we did in today's readings, I'd encourage you to slow down and pause and hold up the pearls that God, the Father, God the Son, the Prophet, the writer of Scripture is giving you. Hold it up for a careful look, because just maybe we'll find what we later come to think of as our own pearl of great price. Scripture scholar Father Raymond Brown wrote about chapter 6 in Luke as Luke enunciating Jesus' values, which sometimes are called the ethics of his kingdom. And he calls today's passages, particularly its emphasis on not judging, as an extension of God's love. And isn't that what we are being called to do? Extend God's love. What's important to our relationships is that which he reveals. And I think the key verse today was, can a blind person guide a blind person? Will they not both fall into the pit? Jesus is teaching his disciples to love everyone, including their enemies, to be forgiving, non-judgmental, and generous to others. He also wants his disciples to be clear-sighted in their understandings. And he warns them that they're going to be hypocrites if they criticize others, yet choose to be blind to their own faults. They cannot lead others unless they are able to see their own defects and limitations. Then they can understand when others fail and help them to change. And when they are fully trained, they will resemble their teacher, Jesus. Lent begins on Wednesday, so I'd like to offer up two things to you to enrich your upcoming Lent. First, something to take to prayer. Lord Jesus, please open my eyes to my own faults so that I will not be judgmental of another's shortcomings. Lord Jesus, open my eyes to my own faults so that I will not be judgmental of another's shortcomings. Second, a word to grow spiritually. Simcha. Strive to grow deeper in your relationship with God this Lent and be more accepting of his gift of boundless love for you, so that what you express on the outside joyfully shows to others what is taking place inside. Peace.